Professor Howard Morris, welcome to Microscopia.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
In this interview, we would like to talk about quality management. And our first question is, what is the IATC's perspective on quality in laboratory medicine? Is it different from any other perspective?
Well, the IFCC, the International Federation of Clinical Chemistry and Laboratory Medicine, is the peak professional body for laboratory medicine internationally. And it has a membership of some 90 national societies for laboratory medicine. These 90 countries around the world range from Albania to Zimbabwe. They have members from North America, from Europe. So they cover a wide range of levels of providing clinical laboratory services. Some of them in some of the developing countries are at the beginning of their careers, at the beginning of their building of clinical laboratories, whereas others are, of course, are the oldest clinical laboratories in the world, and therefore they are quite experienced and they've had many years, 50 years or more, of providing clinical laboratory services. So the IFCC perspective on quality and its teaching on quality has to encompass this whole range of provision of clinical laboratory services. And so that's the concept that, or the perspective with which we've been developing and refining in terms of how can we deliver that message that is relevant to all these different laboratories at different levels of their cycle, at different levels of their growth in providing clinical laboratory services.
Is there just one level of quality to which clinical laboratories should aspire? Or don't we all want the highest level of quality possible?
Well, no, that's not really true when you think about the issues that a clinical laboratory must face. So, for example, there are different perceptions of quality laboratory testing. For the patient, they will want a quick answer that gives a clear result, whereas very often specialist physicians may have other requirements. For a pediatrician, for example, they will require a test that has a very small sample volume, whereas an accident and emergency physician might want a test that's available at the bedside using whole blood. And then, of course, even within the laboratory, we have different perceptions of quality for laboratory medicine. A technologist who's running an instrument, they would think a high-quality test is one that never fails its internal quality control, whereas a lab manager might want a test that is inexpensive and requires unskilled staff. So there is this various perceptions of quality. And then even where we go to where there's international standards of quality, such as established by the ISO, then there are different standards of laboratory testing between different clinical settings. So, for example, for the measurement of blood glucose in the laboratory, in the standard central laboratory, then the quality standard is ISO 15189. Whereas for a nurse measuring glucose in a diabetic clinic, then the quality standard is ISO 22870. And then, of course, most blood glucose measurements in the world are actually conducted in the home of the patient. There's self-monitoring of blood glucose, and there we don't have any standards whatsoever. Another aspect where quality varies is depending on how much resources that your laboratory has to invest in quality. The issues, of course, is we don't want to be a laboratory that provides a substandard quality. But we can desire, we can want a laboratory that provides an adequate quality of service, or we might want some more than that. We might want a good quality of service. And then, of course, there is the highest level of quality, which to some extent is aspirational. it's perfection. And of course, is this a realistic target? Quality is changing all the time. And so the question of our investment and how much we get for the expense of investing in quality will depend on that level. The issue, of course, is that we will get a lot more increase in quality if we're starting from a low level of quality, and then as we develop our quality and move to higher levels of quality, to obtain even a small level of increase in quality, it might take quite a large amount of resources. So these are the decisions that we as laboratory professionals have to make with regard to the aspiration or the goal for quality that we want for our laboratory. We have to think about our setting. We have to think about the resources that we have to invest in the quality of the laboratory. And then we have to make a decision based on all of those concepts coming in to bear on the final decision.
Clinical laboratories work with numerous other health professionals to care for patients. We work with doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and the like, and can ensure quality in the laboratory have all that much effect on looking after patients.
Well, we believe that the clinical laboratory plays a key role at the centre of quality healthcare delivery. We understand that up to 70% of clinical decisions are informed by data from laboratory medicine. And therefore, the laboratory plays a key role at the centre of various aspects of the healthcare delivery network. We have to be concerned with the issue of diagnosis of disease, of determining appropriate treatment, evaluating response to treatment, and of course identifying risk factors and symptoms. So the laboratory does play a central role and influences all of these very aspects of the healthcare system. And of course, with that influence comes responsibility. And therefore, quality laboratory medicine is in fact a driver of total quality healthcare delivery. And therefore, we have to be conscious of this central role that the data from our clinical laboratories influence and have an effect on the outcome of the whole healthcare system.
Are there any particular areas of laboratory medicine that require closer attention than others to improve quality?
Yes, there certainly are. This is work from Professor Mario Plabani from Padua in Italy and his colleagues, both working in professionally as well as his colleagues in the Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine at the University of Padua. We can think of laboratory medicine in three phases: the pre-analytical phase, the analytical phase, and then the post-analytical phase. The pre-analytical phase involves the collection of the specimen, the preparation of the patient. The analytical phase, I think we're all aware of that, that's the actual measurement carried out often in the central laboratory itself. And then there's the post-analytical phase, that is the delivery of the result to the requesting medical practitioner, the interpretation of that result. What is it is this result abnormal or is it normal for a healthy person? Professor Plabani has analysed the sources of laboratory errors over a long period of time, many years, 20 years of work or more, and he's consistently found that at the pre-analytical area of laboratory medicine and at the post-analytical area of practice of laboratory medicine, this is where most of our errors occur. Whereas at the analytical phase, we are very good at that. and very few errors occur within that analytical phase. So it's the areas of pre-analytical analysis and post-analytical processing of our patient specimens are they're particularly the areas in which we have to concentrate and focus to improve the quality of the whole laboratory medicine process.
When you want to improve quality in your laboratory, where do you start? And what is the initial step for ensuring quality in laboratory medicine?
Well, that's definitely a very strong answer, that it is the analytical quality that we must start and focus on. And this is the area which we do well, and we have focused on it over a long period of time. The analytical stages involve the practice of utilizing internal quality control. It includes external quality assurance and participation in such schemes, that our tests meet analytical goals, and that we can interpret our tests, the action limits, that our tests have sufficient sensitivity and specificity to be able to provide this information. And so what we have to do is, with our internal quality control, ensure we have daily monitoring at that level. With our external quality assurance, we need to ensure that we have formal review of our data. We have to have targets setting so that we know that we are meeting our analytical goals, that the error on our test is able to discriminate between an abnormal result and a healthy person's result. And then we also need to audit the usefulness of our testing, so to ensure that it is a fit for purpose. So that's the first step, and it involves the analytical quality of our work.